In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, it's time to talk some movies here. Alan Adams joining us in studio for Pass the Popcorn. Happy Monday.
And to you as well.
How was your weekend?
Yeah.
I sense a story.
Yeah. No, I being a man of who's approaching a certain age, there are certain medical procedures that come part and parcel with certain age milestones.
Oh yes, yep.
On Friday morning, I had my...
Because you were talking about... Oh, I thought you said you have it coming up this Friday. Nope. You already had
your
first...
Yes, no, Friday...
Good time.
This past Friday morning, I had my first colonoscopy.
Woo, boy, isn't that a good ride.
And so, I spent the previous day... anyone who has had one knows that the preparation is the worst part. A fact that was reiterated to me by literally every single person I spoke to at the hospital. Yeah. Everyone's like, "Okay, you're through the tough part.
Yeah,
like your job is done."
Yeah, the key to now it used to be worse. I've had a few of those, and the stuff you used to have to drink was much worse. Now, what you got to do, I think, the key is to pick a flavor of Gatorade that you don't particularly like, because it'll be ruined for you.
We actually, my strategy was the little powder, the little packets of Crystal Light.
Oh, nice.
So I did a little bit of Crystal Light lemonade,
nice.
Which, made it tolerable. But at the same time, when you're just sitting on the couch at like 1:45 in the morning, choking down your third glass of lemon flavored nonsense, and you're just like, I don't care for any of this.
Yeah, because they've tweaked a little bit. It used to be, you drink that stuff through the night, and then you get up in the morning. But the last time I had one, it said, it says here 6 hours before, and I've got an 8 a.m. procedure. I don't have to get up at 2 o'clock and drink this. Oh, yes, you do.
Yes, indeed. I was fortunate in that I had been taking some of the other stuff, and so it's not like I was going to sleep anyway. So that was, everything went swimmingly. Obviously you hear back, later about stuff.
Right, right. Did you find your car keys? No, I kid.
They're just like, is this your best new artist, Grammy? I was wondering where I was keeping that. So that was my Friday.
I have to say, no matter how it went, I hope it wasn't like my experience getting my first colonoscopy. As the drugs are taking effect and I'm just about to go away, a young woman leans over and says to me, while my knees are tucked up to my chin and they're snaking me,
yeah,
she goes, "Oh, Mr. Kimball, never thought I'd see you in this position. Yes, former student."
Oh, that's funny. You say that. My doctor actually... told me he was from Brewer, so he may have been one of your former students as well.
Was it Dr. Sylvian?
Although it did start with an S. I can't remember. I'll be honest with you, there's a lot I don't remember.
Because they erased that day from your memory.
Yeah, there are definitely,
it's like Men in Black.
Yeah, there are some memory gaps that I am that I'm grateful for, if I'm honest about it.
Well, then what happened? That's enough.
Well, but then over the weekend. Spent a lot of time with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra.
They had the big soiree this weekend.
And Sheridan is on the planning committee for the soiree. Mm. So we went to the soiree Saturday night, which was lovely. They had a drinks and hors d'oeuvres and, a silent auction and a wonderful cabaret performance. So that was, you get all gussied up.
Mm.
Those excuses don't come along all that often. So, and then of course the next day was the actual official concert. So we went to we attended that as well. What that means, however, is that I didn't see a single movie this weekend, Rich.
Well, it's okay.
It is okay.
It was Oscar weekend too.
Yes, and I watched every minute of the Oscars.
Me too.
It was funny. Sheridan and I were talking about it at about 10 o'clock last night. We just sort of turned to each other, and I'm like, I love what we've done in the past, but I gotta say, I am really glad my house isn't full of people right now. And, you know, like my knees didn't hurt because I wasn't on my feet, like making drinks for everybody. It
was and just, you can actually watch the Oscars.
Right. Which is something that, you know, the you know, when you're hosting a party like that, you don't necessarily get as much of an opportunity. And I'm glad I had the chance to because I was really I feel like we got a really good collection of a very sincere and genuine speeches. Couple of good bits, couple of not so good bits. And it's so funny because the pacing felt brisk, and we were still there till midnight. Like I don't know, if there's anything you can do about it other than just make it ad free, and then you know, like the network will never go for that.
But so. We were talking about this earlier. You know, it was last year or 2 years ago when they decided to take out some of the creative arts awards, and people complained, and you know, I was in that camp because. Yeah, the numbers aren't what they used to be when it was a cultural event and people would watch even if they hadn't seen any of the movies. But the people who watch are movie lovers who want to see all of those awards being given out.
Well, it was always a wrong-headed decision, I think. The truth is, you know, you can talk about, you know, obviously, you know, the flashier awards are your acting awards, directing, you know, screenwriting, cinematography, that sort of thing. But the reality is, it's like none of that stuff matters without the craft, you know, and like the people who dedicate so much time and energy to bringing that to bringing those aspects of film to life, they deserve to be recognized. And you know, it's they're not the ones making, you know, millions of dollars, you know, and they're not the ones whose faces are on billboards or who are going on the talk shows or anything like that. Like, this is their shot. Like, this is their chance at achieving this kind of broad recognition. So, yes, absolutely. Put them out there. It's not like, and the truth is, it's like, you know, sacrifice two stupid host-driven, quote-unquote, comedy numbers that nobody cares about anyway. And that's plenty of time to fit in all that stuff.
Right. We were discussing the musical numbers earlier. I thought they were generally very meh. Last night's,
you know, it's fun. I feel like that was almost a deliberate choice. Like, I feel like they were trying to scale down the size of it, I suppose. But that being said, I feel like hands down the most successful was the number with the from RRR, the, you know, because they did that, they gave us a big sort of flashy dance number, and you know, and you know, Bollywood inspired. Like, I can't speak for everyone, but I haven't seen a ton of stuff like that, you know? And so it was a chance to see something that was new and interesting. You know, not that I didn't like, you know, stripped down grunge Lady Gaga. Like, that was fine. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's the Oscars. Like, if you're going to do the musical numbers, like, do them. I guess that's the thing.
Right.
I imagine there were all any number of reasons that they stripped it down a little bit. But yes, I'm in agreement that the musical numbers were, kind of shoulder shruggy, like fine. But I mean, the truth is, other than the aforementioned Natu Natu, none of the songs were real bangers this year.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like it seems like most years there's at least a couple that are real, just like, it's just like, oh yeah, let's go. And they just did. I don't know. None of them really resonated in that same way this year for whatever reason.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel, I thought he did a terrific job. He is, we were chatting about it earlier. He's just become so good at what he does, and he's a terrific host.
Well, it's, I was listening to someone talk about it, and I had never thought about it in these terms before, but it made a lot of sense. What makes Kimmel so good in that particular arena is that he's very good, he's very good at reacting.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a reactivity to him that I think plays very well in that sort of circumstance, even though I know everything is scripted to within an inch of its life and all that stuff. But the truth is, like, the host does have control of, like, of pacing, whether we stick with something or if we breeze by it. And he seems to have a pretty good sense of, like, oh, this bit is working, let's give it another 20 seconds. Oh, this bit is flailing, let's get out of here. Like, he seems to have a pretty good, like, sense of that. And I feel like that's a huge contribution to keeping a show like this, just keeping it moving.
And just ad-libs, reactions to things were sharp and on point by and large.
Yep. You know, it's like, let's just say there are relatively few people working in Hollywood who could make a line like, cocaine bear, leave Malala alone, work. But he does. Yeah. Like, he, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, so yes, I thought he did a great job. I thought his, his monologue was hit or miss.
Yeah.
The hits, well, were about hits.
Yes.
Yeah. The elephant in the room was, I thought, addressed pretty well.
Oh yeah, and right up front.
Yep.
The way to do it.
You know, and then we got it in the monologue, and then when we got to the best documentary category, we bring out the Banshees of Inisherin donkey, I assume it was written, but it felt ad-libbed. Like when he says, I hope this time it goes off without a hitch, or at least without hitch.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a great line, yeah. You know, and it's just like, okay, so everyone understands, you know, and the Academy president spoke beforehand about, sort of acknowledging that the Academy writ large, their, you know, response to all of that was inadequate. Hopefully we'll, hopefully nothing like that will ever happen again. Mm. Let's be real. Like, that's just the world we live in now. So,
right.
It was just, I don't know. It was a nice night celebrating the movies. And I know ratings are down, and I know people don't care about it in the same way that they did 20 or even 10 years ago. I still care.
I do too. And even though there weren't really any surprises last night, there were some really inspirational and moving moments because of the people who ended up winning and the circumstances of their lives and careers.
Well, and that's the big thing, right? It's, first of all, anyone out there who has not seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, I beseech you, go do so, yeah. Because it is a phenomenal movie.
Somebody asked me to explain it over the weekend. I'm like, I don't know where I would begin.
Right. It's like, it's an action adventure movie. It's a sci-fi movie. It's an immigrant story. It's a family drama. It's all those things, sometimes from frame to frame.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just
everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yes, yeah. It is a very aptly titled film. You got to love it when a movie just so, like, you knew early on, because once they took, like, everyone in the building knew that K.O.A. Kwan was going to win, yeah, Best Supporting Actor, which his speech was phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure it was dusty,
yeah,
in there. Like, I'm sure.
Same thing with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Well, that was the moment where it's like, oh, it's going to be a big night, yeah, for Everything Everywhere, ooh, all at once. Because it was like, because I was super stoked that she won. I didn't think she had a shot. Like, I assumed that she would split the vote with her co-star from, you know, sort of within the category. I really thought that someone like Carrie Condon would win simply because the Academy was going to want to recognize that movie somehow, and there weren't a lot of places that it was going to be able to do that. But then, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis goes up there and, you know, is just, you know, and it, she's been a delight this entire award season. So it was lovely to sort of see her be rewarded yet again. But then it was like, we're off to the races, and it's like, okay, so this movie's going to clean house. Let's see how many we get out of it.
And the Daniels were great too. Every time they were up,
it's so funny. Like, I always wonder, you know, when you're a filmmaker who has created something that has received all these nominations, and there is a chance that you're going to be up there multiple times. Like, how do you prepare for something like that? Like, do you put it all in one speech because you don't know?
Right.
Do you break stuff up? Do you prepare like backup commentary? Like, what do you do? Because those dudes, it seemed like every time they came back from a commercial break, it's like, oh, hey, it's Daniels again, which was great because, as you said, just a delightful pair of nerds who just really love movies and loved making this particular movie. I thought it was great. They're up there like shouting out their teachers and just like, I mean, just really like drinking in the moment in a way that, that's the reason that we do this. Mm. I think it's the reason that this is a telecast, is because we get to see these people being celebrated, in this culmination of in their case, like years upon years of trying to make this movie mm-hmm. happen, and to have it, you know, come through in such a way and to be recognized to such an extent. Like, it was really lovely to see.
And of course, the whole Brendan Fraser thing was very cool.
Man, it's so interesting, because I know that there is a small but vocal contingent that is very anti The Whale for its portrayal of fat people and the idea of it being, you know, used as, you know, Oscar bait or whatever. That's above my pay grade as far as debate goes. I know that Samuel D. Hunter's play was extremely well received. This film, Darren Aronofsky is a brilliant filmmaker, and Brendan Fraser, man, like, the guy just caught a break. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's like, you know, he's gone. You know, we're talking about a guy who basically wandered in the Hollywood wilderness for 20 years.
Great line. I don't know if Jimmy Kimmel wrote it, but the line about two of the actors from Encino Man are up for Oscars tonight.
Right. it's just so wonderful to see him up there, to see him so obviously moved and touched by this, receiving this recognition from his peers, after having spent such a long time trying to battle his way back, from a situation that wasn't his making, mm-hmm. For having the audacity to push back, and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, well, I guess, we'll see it. We'll see in 2 decades, Brendan.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just rough. And so for him to sort of be able to be out there and to get his shot at this sort of recognition was really wonderful.
And what a great moment too. The hug on stage, man, with Harrison Ford. Oh man.
Oh, well, it's one of those things where, like, you know, obviously, like, you don't plan ahead for this sort of thing, but one has to imagine that the Academy was crossing its fingers that something like this, that this sort of confluence of circumstances would happen. But yeah, just the sheer, like, just delight on both of their faces, and as they embrace, you know, Indian Short Round reunited yet again, only this time, on Hollywood's biggest stage. It was really a delightful way to sort of close things out. And yeah, and as I said before, I think Everything Everywhere All at Once is a very deserving winner. I think it's, people have been sort of pushing out the idea that it's, it might be the first, like, quote unquote sci-fi movie to win Best Picture. I don't know. I would make an argument that, like, in that, although it's probably more fantasy, something like The Shape of Water it falls into that. But regardless, I have long been a proponent of the idea that genre movies deserve more respect from the Academy than they get. This is a wonderful way to push toward that. One has to hope that this isn't like a unicorn of sorts, because, you know, we're talking about a film that is very representative of the Asian American experience, and is headlined by Asian actors, which, I mean, that doesn't really happen. You know what I mean? And
what kind of legs do you think it will have? Is this a film that 10 years from now will still recognize as a great movie?
I think so. Like, it doesn't have that sort of, you know, like, we're never going to talk about this again kind of vibe that you felt like when something like Green Book won, or
Crash,
you know, like, you know, there's the themes to this movie are universal. And the reality is, it's such a wonderfully made movie, both in terms of performance and the way it looks, the way it feels, the style of storytelling that's being done. Like, I don't know exactly how it's going to age. The reality is, like, when you have something that has effects work to this degree, like, sometimes you can, particularly when it comes to CGI, because that's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
That being said, I feel like they went practical when they could.
Yep.
And that helps a lot. My you know, the morning after Monday morning quarterback kind of take is, yeah, this is one of those movies where, you know, it may not make like the AFI list, but like you won't be shocked to see it on there, that kind of thing.
And I understand it, all of the winners, and I probably agree with most of them, but I still feel bad for Banshees of Inisherin because it was such a wonderful movie.
Right. Like it had a very, very, basically like second place across the board kind of feel to it. Like every place it was nominated, it just missed out, like that kind of vibe, you know, and it's, I mean, just spectacular performances, like, and you know, there are four like characters really in this film. They all got nominated for Oscars. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, brilliantly written, you know, the writer director, Martin McDonagh is, you know, he's been here before. These are, you know, it's a movie that will also, I think, withstand the test of time.
Oh, I think so.
In a very real way, just because of the power of the performances and the fundamental simplicity of the story being told, I think. And then on the flip side, you have, you know, your Avatar 2s, where it's like, people have already forgotten that movie exists.
Right.
And
right.
It, you know, it's the third highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah.
And it's still in theaters. And everyone's like, oh, right. You remember Avatar 2? Man, that was something, huh? It's remarkable. It's just, reiterates Jim Cameron's ability. Jim, who was noticeably absent last night, by the way. I think someone might be a little butthurt. I'm not going to. But yeah, he was just... he just has a knack for making these sumptuous visual experiences that have no lasting impact whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like the cultural footprint of the first one vanished almost immediately, and to the point where everyone was like, "Do we really want to make another one of these?" And then it makes $2 billion, and it's like, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and trust Big Game James on this one, I guess.
I was glad to see two, even though I've not seen the movie. It looks great. Women talking, but glad to see Sarah Polley get an Oscar. She is so talented.
Yes, she's incredibly talented. She's so very small. I don't think I realized how small she was. She gets up on stage, you know, next to two people who I assume are, you know, I mean, just like normal sized humans, and she's like a hobbit. And I'm like, how tall are you? I agree. It was really great to see that that particular film recognized. I haven't seen it either. I have read the Miriam Toews book that it is based on.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I was actually quite surprised that, because the book came out in like 2019, like it's not a very old book. So I was kind of surprised to hear that it was being turned around into a film so quickly. I mean, it's, you know, a female forward movie like that, I suppose it's not a surprise that that people would want to sort of get that going as soon as possible, just as, because of the relative dearth of opportunities. But yeah, you know, it's funny. It feels like, despite the fact that we had one movie win, what, 7 Oscars, it felt like almost everyone got a little taste.
Yeah, All Quiet on the Western Front raked in a couple anyway last
year.
Yeah,
it did pretty well. You know, there were a couple there where I was like, oh, okay, we're really the expansion of the voting body, I think, is making a difference, not just for our domestic productions, but for international ones as well, because they're adding new members at a pretty high rate, and a significant percentage of those members are from outside the United States,
right.
And so that is going to definitely shift a little bit what the voting looks like going forward. What that means for, you know, your Top Gun Mavericks and your Avatar 2s going forward, I don't think it's ideal for another blockbuster to be to make it to the promised land. But that being said, I don't know, like Everything Everywhere All at Once did 9-figure box office,
yeah.
And it came out like, what, right around now, I think, last year.
I think so, yeah.
You know, like, you know, it is possible for a quirky, unique, sort of a standalone story to do well at the box office. And, you know, here's hoping that, here's hoping that the right lessons are learned from this.
There you go. Alan Adams talking movies with us here on Pass the Popcorn. Thank you, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
Hope everything's back to normal after your experiences of the weekend.
Well, you know, there was a time last night where I was like, stuff should have happened by now, right?
You're running on empty.
But then this morning, everything appears to be back in working order.
Excellent. Glad to hear that. See you next week.
Yes, sir.